Today's reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 4. I'm beginning to read at verse 32. If you wish to follow it, you'll find it on page 1096 of the New Testament. All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" "Yes," she said, "that is the price." Peter said to her, "How could you agree to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also." At that moment she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So do keep your Bibles open at page 1096, 1097, or do find the Bible reading on your phone if that's easier. And as we come to God's word together this morning, let's pray. Lord, as we open your word together this morning, give us humble hearts, ready to hear and receive whatever it is we need to hear and receive from you this morning, for your glory's sake. Amen. So this morning we're continuing our sermon series in the book in the Bible called Acts, where we're thinking about what it means to be witnesses of the good news of Jesus Christ, witnesses to the good news of Jesus Christ, people who are called, equipped, and sent out by the Spirit of Christ to live the good news of Jesus Christ and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week, we were hearing about how the apostles responded when faced with opposition, how they kept their hearts and minds focused on Jesus, praying to Jesus and pointing to Jesus. And our Bible reading this morning begins with a picture of a united and generous church community, with hearts and minds focused on Jesus, They are one in heart and mind, and there is no one in need among them. They recognize all that they have is a gift from God to be used for his glory, and they view one another's need as if it were their own. So we have a beautiful picture at the end of chapter 4 of the outworking of God's grace and the power of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. It sounds like the perfect church. And then we arrive at chapter 5, and it's the account of Ananias and Sapphira that I'd like to invite us to think about this morning. Sometimes I read Acts and I feel that there's something of a disconnect. This is amazing, but it feels quite idealistic. All these people come into faith, everything being shared in common. It feels amazing, but it feels a bit, can it really be as good as that? The story of Ananias and Sapphira feels much more realistic. Not that I think, I should just clarify, not that I think anyone who lies will fall down and die, but that I see my sinful human heart in aspects of this account. When I was preparing this morning's sermon, I was reminded of a quote by Tim Keller, who is pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City and author of a number of books. You might have seen them on bookshelves or come across him. Tim Keller described the gospel as this: "We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope." This morning, we have a Bible reading about the reality of sin. And my prayer is what you'll leave having heard is just how good, great, and gracious our God is. Because it's in recognizing our sinfulness, our need, that we can know more fully the goodness and the grace of God. They go hand in hand with each other, recognizing our sinfulness and knowing God's goodness and grace. So as we look at this passage, three things the account of Ananias and Sapphira is not. So three things it's not. It's not primarily about giving or money. It is not an easy Bible reading to hear. These are not easy or comfortable verses to hear. It is not a Bible reading that should leave us feeling afraid. So they're the three things it's not. And I just want to briefly think about those a little bit more. So it's not primarily about giving or money. The context of our passage this morning is one where people who had lots of land or lots of property were selling some of it to provide for needs within the community. So it's not people selling the roof over their heads. Ananias and Sapphira choose to join in with doing this. They're not compelled to, it's entirely voluntary. So they choose to join in with selling some land to put the money at the apostles' feet, to make the money available to the apostles. So it's important that we know that they're not compelled to, it's entirely voluntary. They choose to join in with selling some land. The issue is not primarily one of giving or generosity. It is that once they've sold the land, they change their mind about giving all the money to the apostles, and crucially, they lie about this. They were free not to sell the land to start with, or to sell it and not to give the money to the apostles, or even to decide to keep part back. But to say they've decided to keep part back. So if they'd sold it, actually thought, do you know what, we don't want to give all this money to the apostles. They could have said to the apostles, look, we're giving you 75% and we're keeping 25%. So the issue is not primarily about giving or generosity. The issue is that they pretended that they were given it all, and actually they were holding a little bit back. So that's the first thing this reading is not. It's not about giving or money, or not primarily about giving or money. Second thing this reading is not, you probably don't need me to tell you this, but I do want to name it. It's not easy or comfortable hearing of people doing something wrong and then falling down and dying, especially when we can probably all relate in a small way to the lie-in that takes place in the account of Ananias and Sapphira. I think we can all probably relate to information being embellished or withheld, or selective information being provided. It's commonplace in society when we hear the news. We hear of this sort of thing happening all the time. And when it's so commonplace in society, I think it's particularly alarming to hear about the consequences for Ananias and Sapphira. So I just want to name that. So that's the second thing. This reading is not easy or comfortable to hear. It's pretty alarming, really. The third thing, it's not a Bible reading that should leave us feeling afraid. This morning's reading is challenging. I feel challenged by it. But we're not being called to impossible standards of perfection. We're being called to greater humility and honesty. God sees our hearts, so we might as well be honest before him. And when we're honest, his strength can be revealed in our weakness. So that's what this reading is not. What is the Bible reading about? It is a Bible reading about sin. It is a Bible reading about the consequences of sin. It is a Bible reading about the goodness, greatness, and grace of God. I sometimes find we can shy away from talking about sin. We find it easier to talk about the love of God than to talk about our sinfulness. Yet the reality is there is brokenness and sin in our world. Even if people wouldn't use the word sin, we can't deny that all is not as it should be or as we long for it to be. And sin is not just out there, it's in here. It's in our hearts as well. We get jealous, we lose our patience, we pursue power and status, we act in ways that don't care for all that God's created. We judge, we trust in things other than God, in possessions or money or being liked or our own abilities or talents. We put ourselves at the center. I know I do this. I just think about the number of times I'm busy getting stressed about something because it all depends on me. And actually, the first thing I should be doing is looking to the one who holds everything in his hands. I know I, without even realizing it, put myself at the center. People sometimes make the comment that the center of sin is I. This is why we say a prayer of confession together when we gather each week, recognizing, to use language from the prayer book, that we all stray from God's ways like lost sheep. We all get distracted. We all follow the desires of our own hearts, not always doing or saying the things God would have us do or say, or else doing or saying things that don't reflect God's character in us. So there's sin in our world and there's sin in our hearts. The sin highlighted in our reading this morning is the sin of wanting to be seen to be doing the right thing or get the approval of others. Perhaps pretending to Ananias and Sapphira, pretending to be holier than they are. In their case, to be seen to be selling their land and putting the amount they received at the apostles' disposal. So remember, there's no requirement for them to do this. There's no requirement for them to give all that they've received to the apostles. But they want to be seen to be doing this. That's the issue we have here this morning. Now, we might not be able to relate to the example of selling land and then lying about how much we received for it. But I suspect we can, if we're honest, all relate to wanting to be seen to be doing the right thing or to getting the approval of others. So this morning's reading, it is a reading about sin. Let's not shy away from that. And we see that the sin of lying has disastrous consequences for Ananias and Sapphira. Whilst I hope there will usually be time for repentance for sin and that God will not act in judgment in the way he does in our reading, it is a reminder that God judges sin, which is ultimately a good thing. When we are wronged, God takes that seriously. God takes sin seriously because God is a God of justice. This is why God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross, because sin is not nothing. It matters to God. There needed to be consequences, a price needed to pay. Jesus died on the cross out of extravagant love for us, for you and for me, because sin matters to God. This is how loved by God we are, you and me. Jesus died so that sin is taken seriously and at the same time we can have life. So in Jesus' death on the cross, sin is taken seriously. It's not nothing. It matters. And we can have life. Harm matters, and we can know forgiveness, healing, and restoration. Which is why this Bible reading should not leave us feeling afraid. Challenged, yes, but not afraid. The greatness of God, which judges sin, is the greatness of God, which saves us from our sins. In lying, Ananias and Sapphira had failed to understand the good news of Jesus Christ. They thought they could pretend to God and the Christian community to be holy or generous. They thought they could pretend that they were being those things, that what mattered was what they were seen to be doing rather than their hearts. They had not recognized that God is God. God sees our actions and our hearts. Ananias and Sapphira could not outwit God. So this account reminds us of the greatness of God, the greatness of God which judges sin, and the greatness of God which saves us from our sins. God is God, and we are not. Ananias and Sapphira had also not grasped that the heart of the gospel is that all of us fall short of God's standards and none of us can be good enough for God through our own efforts. They're trying to be good enough or look good enough. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is that we are more loved and accepted by God than we can know. Not because of anything we do, but because of God's grace. We are not called to strive to be better or holier people, whatever that means, in our own strength. And if we're good enough, God will love and accept us. That's not how it works. The gospel of grace is that we can come before our holy God, our great God, as we are. And when we come in humility and honesty, his holiness can transform us, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. If we try to show a pretend version of ourselves to God, he can't do his transforming work in us. We deny who God is. We deny that he's the great God that sees us, that is powerful. When we are honest and recognize who he is and our need of him, it is then that we can live in and out of his goodness and his grace, allowing his power to work in us. Amen.